Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm here, as always, with two dear chums, Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
I'm a deer.
You're a chum.
And I'm dog food.
Chum chum.
I'm a cute little deer. Oh, headlights. I'm in a good mood.
Which is good. So,
yeah, it's because you weren't able to make it in till for last week's episode. So, yeah, it's good to have you back.
Yeah. 1 week on, how are you feeling, Jess?
I am fine, thank you.
It's a great recovery.
I had to take the next day off work. I couldn't get home from here. I had to come get picked up. But I'm okay. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Sorry about that.
For those who missed it, go back and listen to it.
Yeah, go back and listen.
Go back and listen to the lack of Jess throughout last week's episode.
Technically, I was physically present. Except the two times I left the room.
I was going to say, there were times you weren't physically present.
Yeah, but you carried on because you're professionals, unlike me, who leaves the room to spew.
So this podcast, Do Go On, if you are new to it, it's a podcast all about things. Mm-hmm. Each week we do a show about a different topic, which has been suggested by a listener. It'll be picked out and a report will be written by one of the three of us. The other two of us don't know what that topic is. And this week it's Jess, and we start the topic with a question.
Yes, and my question is, have you heard of...
Okay, love these ones.
Yeah, because I don't think you'll know this one because I certainly didn't.
Okay, so no is the answer.
Ooh, well, she's guessing.
I'm presuming. I could be wrong.
Okay. You know what presuming does? It makes a pruse out of...
Sue and me?
Sue me. Oh, I lost control of that one.
Do you want me to say assuming?
Yes.
Okay, I assumed don't know.
You know what assuming does? That makes an assumey about NNG. Oh, okay, fuck. All right, please just ask the question.
Have you heard of the Great Train Robbery?
Yes.
Ronnie Biggs.
Fuck off.
Yeah, he just... Oh, I was going to tell you the story, but I'll let you do that, Jess.
That is the most Jess thing to ever happen.
No one's heard of this obscure story.
Well, I didn't know how else to ask the question.
Look, I don't know
it.
Too much about it. I just know the bare bones, the bare minimum.
Yes, I'd be the same. I know the skeleton of this story.
I know enough for a pub quiz.
Great. Okay.
This is great. Yeah. I knew that it was in the news not too long ago.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, that's great. I don't know. This would be similar to like things like...
Escape from Alcatraz and stuff like that. I vaguely know it, but I don't know the bloody meat. I only know the bones.
Yeah, right. So I put this in the hat with two other topics for our Patreon Sydney Sheinberg listeners to vote on. And this was double anything else. Like it was a big front runner, even though there was another one in there that I was very keen to do because it was ridiculous. So I might try and put that up again another time.
What was there a general topic? Were they all train related?
No, they were all kind of event or like wacky events in history because I'd done three biographies in a row. I wanted to do something a little bit diff.
Yeah.
Just do something a bit diff.
That is so you.
Thank you. You know me. I'm predictable.
I don't know. I would dare not predict, but I'm bloody looking forward to this report.
Right. Well, I'm sorry that I did presume you were both idiots like me.
Yeah, you met a Sue out of Prue and me. What?
This was suggested by Ed. Funnily enough, I think that's the only person.
From Ed, the TV show?
Yeah, Mr. Ed.
From Mr. Ed?
Yeah.
That's an Ed. That's a lot of Ed TV shows. There's Ed TV.
Wasn't there? Ed, Ed, and Eddie?
Thank you. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Wait, what was it? Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
Yeah. That was the first one had 1D, second Ed had 2Ds.
Right. Which is silly.
What's going on?
An there? Eddie. My grandpa's.
There was also Eddie. That. There was a duo in the 90s called Someone and Eddie, and they had a song that went, "You can remember, baby, you will never find another girl in this heart of mine. In this heart, in this heart. You can hear my heart when you hear me heart heart. Would I find
you, baby? Would I lie to you?"
It's amazing the bullshit that remains in your brain.
Was that like three 90s hits together?
I think so.
Maybe.
I think that might have been a bit of a mesh.
It was a mashup. It was a Jive Bunny mashup.
Anyway, so no, just Ed suggested this one.
So no horse.
No horse, no Ed with 2 Ds or an Eddie involved.
Okay.
Charles and Eddie is who's saying, "Would I lie to you?" Important fact.
Charles and Eddie.
Yeah.
It's not a good band name,
is it? I think a one-hit wonder.
Do you think their names were Charles and Eddie?
Oh, no, no, no. The 90s was a wild time, Jess. You simple. Oh, you were a 90s child. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. I wasn't an adult in the 90s.
Please do go on. I'm so
Thank
sorry,
you so
Jess.
Much. So, at 6:50 on Wednesday, the 7th of August, 1963, the travelling post office train set off from Glasgow Central Station en route to Euston Station in London. It was scheduled to arrive at Euston at 3:59 the following morning.
That's a long journey.
It's a long journey.
Like, wait, is this some sort of a time travelling? It set itself to arrive at the next day. That's cool. What is like? Is this a DeLorean?
It's like it's leaving at night.
What?
And then it arrives in the morning.
Just like that's cool.
Isn't that
I didn't know
cool?
It was a sci-fi thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a true story?
You be the judge. Mothman Part 2. So the train consisted of 12 carriages and carried 72 post office staff who sorted mail during the journey.
That's six staff members per carriage. Oh. Dave, am I right?
On average, yes.
72. Weirdly, I didn't notice that. But that does bother me a little bit.
How about 12? 10 carriages with 75.
No, I'm okay with 12.
Wait, isn't 72, that's a multiple of 24,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
Which is a day. That feels, 72 somehow feels like a round number
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, 72 feels fine. I don't know why either. I don't understand me.
Mm. Okay.
The second carriage behind the engine was known as the HVP, which was the High Value Packages Coach, which carried large quantities of money and registered mail for sorting. Usually the value of the shipment was in the region of £300,000.
Like quite a lot of money at the time.
Quite a lot. Yeah. This is in the 60s. But because the previous weekend had been a UK bank holiday weekend, the total on this day was between 2.5 and 3 million pounds.
That is some hot tamale.
That is a lot of pound.
Yeah, too much pound.
What did you enjoy about that?
I don't know. I liked how you sort of put it so poetically. I'm like, what analogy is you going to use here?
I play with the tension.
Mm.
Pausing,
yes.
Being comfortable in the silence.
Yeah.
That's what.
That's your gift.
That's your gift.
No silence. Quick, compliment her.
I'm afraid of silence. Fill the gap.
That is not my gift.
Compliment her. Okay, yes. So just after three. So they're not far from their destination.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. Well, they left at like 6:50 p.m. So, yeah.
So they're sort of, they're in that, you know when you're time traveling, you're in that weird sort of zone in the middle and like numbers are floating through the sky and stuff?
Yeah, and like cows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And your mum, you're like, mum?
Well, I mean, we've all time traveled, Jess.
Mum? What are you doing? Oh, she's gone.
Sucked into a wormhole.
But safely. So just after 3 a.m., the driver, a man called Jack Mills, stopped the train on the West Coast main line at a red signal.
Have a piss.
No, the signal had been tampered with. Someone had covered the green line and connected a 6-volt ever-ready battery to power the red light.
That sounds too easy to do.
Yeah.
Bit of branding involved there too.
Yeah, that's right.
I like to name and shame.
Yeah.
They know what they did.
Yeah.
They partook. The locomotive's second crew member, known as the second man or fireman.
Oh, I mean.
Fireman's a very confusing title.
I would demand to be called the fireman because second man sounds bad.
Yeah, it's not particularly creative either. But he was a 26-year-old guy called David Whitby. He climbed down from the cab to call the signalman from a railway trackside telephone, only to find that the cables had been cut.
Oh.
Sick. I once played a train signalman in a sketch, and that character's name was Trey Sigmund. Now that is creative. We took out four letters.
I love it.
Did you write that?
I think no. I think that was Alastair Trombley-Birch who would have written that kind of genius.
Yeah, that sounds like something he would do.
Mm. So good.
He's so good, so talented. God, I wish I was more like Al. As David turned around and made his way back to the train, he was grabbed from behind and quickly overpowered. Meanwhile, the train driver, 58-year-old Jack Mills, waited in the cab for
Millsy
waited in the cab for Whitby to return.
Taking a piss.
Witters.
Gang members entered the cabin from both sides of the train, and as Mills grappled with one robber and attempted to force him off the train, he was struck from behind by another gang member with a club.
Like a nightclub?
Yeah, he was struck from behind over the back of the head by a nightclub.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they just hit him with a building.
That is quite a blow.
Right?
Yeah, to his self-esteem, I assume.
Yeah, you'd feel like a real jackass if you got hit by a nightclub.
Yeah.
I should have seen this coming.
It's a nightclub.
They make a lot of sound.
But they are notoriously dark, and it was nighttime. Mm.
That's right. And he was also very high.
Ever been at a nightclub when they turn the lights on? Oh,
no good.
It's so sad.
I don't think so.
Remember being at Festival Club once, which is during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's just Max Watts. It's a venue in Melbourne, but like that's sort of where everybody gathers. And it was 5 a.m. one time and they turned the lights on us. And it's like, oh, this place sucks in the light. Oh, it's so gross. I can see you all. Not good.
The mystery all vanishes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I shouldn't have been there at 5 a.m., but it's having a good time. Anyway, so he's been hit over the back of the head, but now the robbers have a problem. They had to move the train.
The bouncers there going, not in those shoes, mate.
Button-up shirt, thanks, mate.
But I've got three ladies with me. Doesn't that mean something in the 60s? I'm afraid not, sir. All right.
I went into it. I'm going to show how stupid I am. I went into a bar recently and at the front, obviously they're checking our ID and he's like scanning it. He was making small talk. Then he was taking a photo of us. And I was first. So I then like waited for the person I was with. And I saw that comes up on the screen for them. And it has like your name, age, everything, but then also says your star sign. And I was like, that's a bit funny. And then only a couple of hours later realized that they could ask kids with fake ID, what's your star sign? And I was like, Oh.
Start something else about, oh, Virgo, you'll be picking up tonight.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's a bit cute that it has that there. I wonder what the point of that is.
It's so they know how to deal with them, Virgos. Oh, in this moon phase.
Yeah.
Watch out. We better keep our eyes on them.
Bit of a perfectionist.
You'll be trouble. You're not coming in. Yeah. I'll just let in three Capricorns and you will be starting a fire.
I know what you guys are like.
I know what you fire signs are like. If that's what they are.
I don't know.
Which, I guess, one in four chance.
Yeah, true.
Earth, fire, Earth. Wind, water, heart. Go planet. Anyway, too many derailings for this railway-themed episode.
So they've got a problem.
The problem is that they have to move the train from where it's been stopped to a suitable place to load their truck with the stolen money.
They didn't bring someone who can drive a train.
There was a bridge half a mile or approximately 800 metres ahead. They had thought ahead.
Good.
And hired a retired train driver as part of their gang to help with this exact task.
Perfect.
However.
What?
Despite having driven trains for many years, he was unable to operate this newer type of locomotive.
Oh. It's not automatic.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Where's the coal?
With no other option, it was decided that Mills, who they'd just made semi-unconscious, would have to move the train to the stopping point near the bridge. So he's just got to go 800 metres. It's not that far, but he's just got to move the
train. So now they're like using the club to like wake him up, hitting him. Maybe we can bash some sense back into him.
Put away the battering club. So the waking club.
They hit him on the back of the head. Now they're trying to hit him on the front of the head to counteract it.
Turn on this nightclub's light. He'll wake up. Sober him up.
They hit him over the head with a health club, a day spa.
A coffee club.
Yeah, a coffee
hot
club.
Hot cup of joe. That'll wake you up. The train was stopped at Bridego Bridge as the robbers' assault force attacked the high-value package carriage. The train staff were made to lie face down on the floor in the corner of the carriage, and Mills and Whitby were then brought into the carriage, handcuffed together, and put down beside the staff.
And do the robbers have guns at this point, or is it just clubs and there's lots of them?
That's a good question. I don't think they had guns.
Right.
There was approximately 15 of them.
Okay.
So it's a pretty big gang. But I don't think they had, like, I think they just had, like, clubs and brute force. The robbers formed a human chain to remove all but 8 of the 128 sacks from the HVP carriage. So they took 120.
Saxophones.
Saxophones, yeah.
Wow. They're very valuable.
They are valuable.
If you're selling 120 saxophones.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, you're making a good money.
A couple of grand a piece.
You melt them down.
You haven't, like, outlaid any money.
Mm.
So it's all profit.
Yeah.
100% profit.
Yeah, so that's clever business.
Yeah, that's a big band.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ready to go.
Yep. So they're all good to go now with their 120 saxophones.
It's like 10 each. Sounds like, unfortunately, they forgot to bring someone.
They forgot to bring
someone who knew how to play the saxophone, so they had to wake up the driver. Mate, so I'm so sorry, we knocked you out again, but can you regain consciousness and test these saxophones? We need to know.
We think they're faulty.
We need to know the best sounding ones. We're going to leave behind 8 shit ones and take the best 120.
Luckily, he also knew how to play saxophone. No, so sacks of money and
jewels.
Other valuables. They transferred. This took about 15 to 20 minutes, right? So they've formed like a human chain,
it's a great
just passing
chain.
Everything off.
Have they? Do you reckon they've run drills and stuff like this?
Probably. They departed some 30 minutes after the robbery had begun in their Austin Lodestar truck, and in an effort to mislead any potential witnesses, they used 2 Land Rover vehicles, both of which had the same registration plate, which was BMG757A.
Okay, is that good?
That's cool.
Is that good to make people it's more likely to remember it, aren't they? Or is it?
I think that's the idea. They're the decoy ones, right? It'd just be confusing. I don't know. I feel smart, and I can't put my finger on why.
I know, because then I sort of feel like you've got twice the chances of
remembering
just,
it.
Wouldn't you just have no number plate on it?
I think it's sort of meant to be like a red herring, right? I thought these were decoys. That's not where the stuff was. They were just decoy.
Well, there's 15 of them, so they need more than one car.
Right.
Imagine that. Fuck, we've only bought one.
I misunderstood. I thought they all went off in a truck and then there were these two decoy Land Rovers.
No, they've gone off in that as well. So they hit the road and they're listening for police broadcasts on a
mate, they have gone off in that.
They their journey taking somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour, and they arrive like back.
Their journey of growth.
Yes, their personal journey.
They're maturing.
It's beautiful.
Didn't take long though.
They arrived back at Leatherslade Farm around 4:30 a.m., which was the same time as the first reports of the crime were being made. So they were hearing on the radio, like, people reporting the crime. Now, Leatherslade was a rundown farm 27 miles or 43 kilometres from the crime scene. It had been bought 2 months earlier specifically to use as their hideout.
Right, there's a lot of outlay going on here.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have just done it up and sold it for a profit.
Yeah.
It's a farm.
I mean, a lot. A
farm in the 60s.
Hang on to it for 5 years.
Yeah.
Triple your money.
Give it a lick of paint.
God's sake.
I know.
For God's sake.
Learn to invest.
But now they got all these saxophones to decorate it with.
Oh, no, it's a nightmare. Oh.
Been watching a lot of Queer Eye as well. And there's one guy who has like all these caps, much like that type of hat you like to wear, Matt. And he has them all on his wall. And Bobby says, hats are great for the head. They are not decor. And that's how I think he would feel about all of those saxophones. Yep.
They're great for the head, but they're not decor.
They're not decor.
That's good sax.
Is that even saxophone?
It's good sax.
Yeah, that's sax.
I'm not sure that it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's sax.
Is it?
It's in tequila.
Isn't it doobity-bop-bop-bop?
No, that's
scat.
Very similar to sax.
God, I'm not good at this. All right, so they've committed their crime. They've taken off. Let's take a step back for a moment. We've heard about the crime. Let's get to know the men behind it.
Oh, I love it. This is storytelling at its finest.
I wrote all of that down.
Let's take a step back.
Okay, so there's a few names here, and I've just got little like summaries of each of them, like what they were doing in their lives. And their star signs, obviously. No, I don't have their star signs, but we can make them up.
We've got a 1 in 12 chance.
Yeah, it's going to be that hard. Bruce Reynolds was a thief and antiques dealer. He planned the robbery that had become one of the most notorious in British criminal history. He was kind of like the head honcho. There was also Ronald Buster Edwards. He was a former boxer and club owner, widely believed to have been the one to hit Jack Mills over the head.
With the club. He's a club owner. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. So he brought his nightclub with him.
Yeah.
You wouldn't trust it on a night not there.
That's true.
Yeah, no. If he's not there, he doesn't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And that's steal fair. From the till. Mm.
There was Charles Frederick Wilson. He was the treasurer who gave each of the robbers their cut of the haul. Roy.
I love that they've given ranks for a criminal.
It's good, isn't it? Treasurer. It just basically means there wasn't much else about that guy. Like, I don't know what else he
there was the secretary.
It was Roy John James.
Booking agent.
Who was a chief getaway driver.
Oh, that's a pretty good title.
And nicknamed Weasel. He was a silversmith and a proficient racing driver. And he plans to invest his share of the cash in new car technology.
Ah.
Elon Musk.
Wow. Is that where he came from?
Yes.
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never knew that.
Yeah.
I cannot confirm nor deny, so I will say crime. Yes.
Yeah.
There was Brian Arthur Field, who was a crooked solicitor who helped make arrangements for their getaway. I think he was the one who also helped to buy the farm and stuff like that. There was Leonard Field, no relation. He was a merchant seaman, a skill set not all that helpful with a train robbery.
Guys, if this ship, train, were to go into any water, I'd be the captain, all right? It's agreed.
He can't break that habit. Still calling it a ship.
I'm going down with the ship.
All right,
Leonard,
Lenny.
Leonard, get in the fucking truck.
You mean get in the boat?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Fine.
Get in that yacht over there. No problem. There was Gordon Goody, who was a hairdresser who moved to Spain to run a bar after his release. That's
also, good. I mean, maybe it will help with disguises. I don't know. But, like, doesn't seem like that essential when you're planning.
In an interview with him, he was talking about how his dad, like, wanted him to go into the family business or something like that. I don't remember what that was, but he was like, but I wanted to be, and I thought he was going to say hairdresser, and he's like, a thief. I was like, okay.
Love it.
Righto. Hey, you know you. There was James Hussey. He was a decorator known as Big Jim. Love it.
Nice.
Roger Corddry.
I mean, if they were going to do up the house.
Yeah.
He's very important.
And we also need Roger, who's a florist.
This is a ragtag band.
It's so good. Is.
Like on in Reservoir Dogs, when they get people for their skill sets, or Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
It's even more the case. This is not that. All right, we've got the florist. We've got the decorator.
That started off like the race car driver as the getaway driver. Like, it's like, brilliant. This is great.
I mean, they got that, but they didn't get a train driver who could drive a train.
Yeah, not the one they had. They also had James White, who was a former paratrooper. He was known as the quartermaster for
that
the
feels
robbery.
More useful.
Yeah. He's a rough and tumble guy.
Tommy Wisby, he was a bookie and self-confessed heavy. I don't fully understand. It was his role to frighten the train staff, so he was just the big dude.
Right.
And there was Bobby Welch as well, who was a nightclub boss and later a car dealer and gambler. So that's the ragtag bunch. So this raid, it wasn't a spontaneous thing. Obviously, they'd bought the property ahead of time. It was devised over a period of months by a core team. So Goody and Edwards, along with Bruce Reynolds, Charlie Wilson and Roy James, Reynolds assuming the role of mastermind for the robbery.
And what was his background again? Which one's Reynolds?
Bruce Reynolds was the, he was a thief and antiques dealer.
All right, cool. So he planned it, yeah.
Yeah, he was sort of, one of the leaders of it. This gang, although they were very successful in the criminal underworld, had virtually no experience in stopping and robbing trains. So they enlisted the help of another London gang called the South Coast Raiders. This group, which included Tommy Wisby, Bob Welch, Jim Hussey, were already accomplished train robbers. That was Roger Corddry as well, the florist, a man who was a specialist in this field and knew how to rig the trackside signals to stop the train.
So, floristry, is that just a cover at this point?
Must be. Oh, I mean, we all have, all three of us do multiple things.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Floristry is the day job.
Yeah. Who are we to judge?
Passion is train robbery.
Yeah.
In Get Smart,
could be the other way around.
Don Adams' cover job was greeting card salesman, I'm pretty sure.
That's a great.
It's a similar sort of idea, florist.
Yeah, there you go. Just somebody you wouldn't expect.
It's a good cover.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect it.
You wouldn't be like, oh, been another big train robbery. Let's go bust the local florist.
Do you know what? I went to a florist a couple of months ago and bought a bunch of flowers, and it was a very small shop, and he didn't greet me when I walked in, just ignored me, seemed annoyed that I was there even though I was giving him money. But I noticed as he was wrapping the flowers up, it's so weird that I had this thought, but he had these monstrous hands. I was like, his hands were enormous, and I was sitting there watching him wrap these flowers like, he could kill someone with those hands.
Oh my goodness.
And now I think that was clearly a cover.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And the amount you paid, daylight robbery. Flowers are fucking expensive.
Do you think I have enough evidence to call the police?
I think so.
This man had large hands. Arrest him at once.
They were so big, they must have committed a murder.
They could. If they haven't already, they could. Right, so back up to where we were up to. They've escaped. They've arrived at Leatherslade Farm around 4:30 in the morning, just as the crime's being reported.
Is there enough bedrooms for everyone?
There's not enough bedrooms.
Oh, my goodness. This is so badly planned.
Well, at the farm, they counted the proceeds and divided it into 16.
They counted the bedrooms.
They counted the bedrooms.
Guys, we should have counted before, but there's 15 of us and there's only 4 bedrooms. It's just not good.
Yeah, but heaps of bunk beds.
Great.
They're fine.
Counted proceeds.
And they divided it into 16 full shares and several smaller shares for associates, like the dodgy solicitor who helped them buy the farm as a hideout. So they sort of had other associates to pay off, but they gave themselves larger shares, obviously. The full shares came to approximately £150,000 each, which is about $2.65 million today.
Wow. Pounds.
Pounds.
Wow, so that's really good money.
That's huge.
Yeah, that is a really good money. I think someone should write that down. That's the quote of the day so far. That's a really good money.
I'm pretty sure that is really good money.
Oh, no, that is really good money. But what Dave said was that's... A really good money.
Sorry, new character. That's a really good money. Italian accountant.
Who doesn't do an Italian accent but does speak in broken English. That's a really good money.
That's amore.
When I learn a new language, I like to nail the accent first, then learn the words.
Okay.
Molto bene.
Yeah. Va bene. Allora. They had food to last them quite a long time in hiding, although the plan was to stay there just for a few days before they thought it would be safe to leave. Sort of like hide out, lay low, and then they could go home. Apparently they were in really good spirits. They were drinking. They were playing Monopoly with real money.
Wasn't there a couple of gamblers in the bunch?
Oh, yeah.
I bet they lost their money before the week was out.
I think that's so crazy. Like, I'd be like, yeah, let's play with the real money, but I'm not actually betting on it. Well, yeah. Then again, I'm not a gambler.
Mm.
Not a gambler.
Or a robber.
Or competitive at all, so I don't give a shit about
it. Or a Monopoly player.
Or British.
Mm.
Try as I might.
Or alive in the 60s.
That's amore. See, I can't do it.
That's a good of money.
That's a good of money. The police had calculated that instead of taking off with their haul, they'd gone to ground within a 30 mile radius of the crime scene.
Well, they're bloody right.
Yes, but this was based on information given by a witness at the crime scene who stated that a gang member had told the post office workers not to move for half an hour.
Oh, for God's sake.
The press interpreted this information as a 30 mile radius, which was about a half hour drive in a fast car. Dickhead.
Don't move for half an hour and please don't tell them to search Leather Slade Farm.
That's Leather Slade Farm.
Wait, can you explain that one more time? What happened there?
So one of the robbers has said, don't move for half an hour. So they assume, well, they're travelling within a half hour radius. So now they have an approximate, they go, okay, well, they'd be driving pretty fast. This is an approximate area they're going to be in.
That is really dumb if that is where they are about half an hour away.
Yes, Matthew, they are. Did you listen to any of what we said? Where did you go?
That is not a good money.
That is not a good money.
That is not a good memory. Not a good memory.
The gang realised that this information probably meant they'd be found sooner than they had anticipated, so they decided they would leave the farm the next day to avoid capture.
Guys, we haven't finished the game of Monopoly. I'm looking pretty good. I don't want to stop until Matt lands on my Mayfair hotel.
Someone take a photo of the board.
We can recreate this later at our next hideout.
Oh, my God. Do people do that?
Probably.
How sad. Monopoly is it's a divisive game. It has ruined friendships.
I've never been near one, a completed game.
No.
Really?
I haven't played it since I was a kid, but it does feel boring to me.
Are we going to play Monopoly?
No.
Oh.
I'd be well up for it.
We'll have a little dinner. We'll have a little wine. Hey, you want some wine, some cheese?
I'd be up for another. We'll play Trivial Pursuit or something.
Yeah, okay. That makes more sense for us. But I'm an idiot. Oh, I'm not good.
Let's play Yahtzee.
Yahtzee. Only if I can yell Yahtzee every time.
That's a key part of the game.
But I will be only increasing in enthusiasm and
Yahtzee
and volume.
I think we should play Trivial Pursuit, but still yell Yahtzee.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I yell Monopoly?
Certainly not.
Oh, I'm not coming. Anyway, so they're deciding to leave the farm. Now, it had been arranged that an associate, referred to as Mark, was paid to burn down the farm in order to destroy the evidence.
What kind of evidence are they leaving there?
Like fingerprints and
Monopoly boards.
Oh, right, of course.
Physical evidence of them being there because they were there.
Right.
Yeah. However, Mark didn't do this. He did a runner, and by the time the gang were ready to get back to the farm, the police had already found their hiding spot under the kitchen of the abandoned house. So they'd burrowed like underground. They weren't just in a house. They were sort of
right.
In like a bunker underneath.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they were, I think, pretty well covered, but the police found it
so
quite easily.
What, did they discover that Mark hadn't burned it down, so they were trying to get back to burn
exactly.
it down?
Exactly, yeah. So it was all within a couple of days.
Couple of days.
So they, I think... So let's say it was Wednesday when they did the crime, and they were planning on leaving. Originally, it was going to be like Sunday. They'd stay there for a few days, and then Mark would do it Monday. But they left the next day, like Friday, and he didn't go and burn the place down. So by the time they've realized he's done a runner and they go back to do it themselves, the police had already found it.
Oh.
So that's not good.
They had to burn the police down.
In an interview that I saw as well, somebody was like, if you're going to hide, like hide in the city because people in the country are a little bit nosier.
Yeah.
They sort of know what's going on a bit more.
When a group of 15 guys that they've never seen before rock up.
Rock up, and then you don't see them because they've gone underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Because where'd they all go? But their truck's still there.
The police were actually given a tip-off from a herdsman who used a field adjacent to Leatherslade Farm, who obviously must have seen something out of the ordinary, that people were probably there or cars were there or something. So he's tipped them off, and a few days after the robbery, a police sergeant, a constable, went to the property, and the farm was deserted, but they found the trucks used by the robbers, which had been hastily painted yellow.
Like, that sounds like they've done a shit job.
Like, it's a different car. It's like, oh, yeah, a bright yellow truck. They also found a large quantity of food, bedding, sleeping bags, post office sacks, registered mail packages, banknote wrappers, and a Monopoly board game.
They did leave the Monopoly.
I like the trying to get away with it by painting a different car. It's like going, they're like, oh, but we were looking for a red truck. Oh, that mustn't be it. Or it's like the guy going, I'm going to put on this hat.
Yeah.
And the cops rock up and they go, oh, our guy didn't have a hat on.
So,
that can't be him.
Hmm.
Oh.
Sorry to bother you, Mr. Hat.
But you know how they had like one truck and then the two Land Rovers that matched?
Yeah.
Well, they were both there as well.
Right, great.
And I mean, what's
the? I don't understand the point of the number plate thing if they're both just going to be
there. Yeah, I don't really get that either.
That's confusing.
It almost feels like you have twice the chance of getting caught.
Yeah, people remember the number.
I thought they were decoys, but it feels like they were just
they just drove to the same place.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like people were like, oh, I was seeing double. I must be misremembering. I won't tell the cops.
Yeah. Four Krusties.
I was seeing four Krusties.
So they've done a real sweep of all the evidence that's left behind, and the police undertook a major search. They found out from the crime scene, after having failed to find any forensic evidence there, a watch was put on the seaports, and the Postmaster General, Reginald Bevans, offered a £10,000 reward to the first person giving information leading to the apprehension and conviction of the persons responsible for the robbery. And in the public, it was quite divisive. Like, some people were like, well, they're robbers, like they're bad guys, but other people were kind of like, good on them, because it was so ballsy, because it was such a big thing that they'd like so much money, an unfathomable amount of money at the time for them to have got away with. Some people were kind of like a bit Robin Hood, even though they weren't giving it to the poor. No, they taking it for themselves.
Bash the shit out of a train driver.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. Like, obviously you look at it and go, well, no, they're criminals. But some people at the time were sort of like, what a bunch of heroes.
Jess, you say that some people at the time. Me right now, I'm barracking for them to get away. I can't help myself.
No, I always do the same thing too. Yeah. It's like, go on.
And then,
why'd you leave the Monopoly board? Fuck!
Even while you were saying that, and then you go, they did bash a guy, and I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck.
Yeah, you might change your mind with more information.
Oh,
as well.
Okay.
Oh, they didn't bash a guy.
Oh, no, they did. So the first member to be caught was Roger Caudray. I think he was a florist.
Of course he was caught. He went straight back to the flower shop. Couldn't resist.
Bournemouth or Bournemouth police were tipped off by a police widow, Ethel Clark, when Caudray and his friend William Bowell, B-O-A-L, Bowell?
Bowell.
Bowell, paid rent for a garage 3 months in advance, all in used 10-shilling notes.
Used yeah. was noteworthy.
They pay in brand new 10-shilling
yeah,
notes.
Good point.
Oh, yuck.
So she was like, something's not quite right here, so she tipped off the police.
Imagine you calling the police about that. The money has been used.
In a brutal and heartbreaking twist, William Bowell, who was not involved in the robbery at all, was sentenced to 24 years in prison for the robbery. And he died in prison in 1970.
So what was his connection again?
He was just a friend of one of them.
Renting the garage with
yeah,
them.
He and his friend Roger were renting this space. I think he was probably helping him lie low. He might have known what Roger had been involved in, but he had nothing to do with it.
Ooh.
And this is where I think your opinion might change of them, because, and I haven't written this down perfectly, so I'm going from memory here of a doco that I watched, but a lot of them pleaded not guilty and claimed they didn't do it in their trials. So when he was up as well, they couldn't say, no, no, he wasn't involved, right, because that would then mean they were admitting it. But then somebody made the point that, like, once they're all convicted and they're in jail, it doesn't hurt you at all, yeah, to let him,
all right, I did
to
it,
speak up.
Unless they're still trying to,
yeah, appeal. But you're like, well, I'm convicted, but he wasn't involved.
Ugh.
And he died in prison. An innocent man. Isn't that fucked?
Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
And, like, even some of the robbers were like, yeah, that was wrong. He shouldn't have gone to prison for
that. Oh, that was, oh, they were, that is big of them.
Yeah.
No, so, no, they do sound like,
come back around on them. Yeah. They were all right. So other arrests followed after Roger as well. 8 of the gang members and several associates were caught. The other arrests were made by Sergeant Stan Davis and probationary constable Gordon Charlie Case. I don't know why you get Charlie from Gordon, but okay.
Jess, by the way, you know how I'm like, I know this. So I have not known a single, okay, piece of this so far.
That's good.
I've heard of it, is what it turns out.
Good.
All I knew about it was the name, I think.
Yeah.
And you haven't mentioned Biggsy yet, have you?
I just realised that too. I think I skipped him in my list.
Oh, right. I assume that maybe
I'm like, where does he come?
There was another Ronnie you
You're
mentioned.
Right. I must have missed him on my list. There was Ronald Biggs as well. Okay,
right,
great.
Or I was starting, okay, to think that maybe he came in late somehow. I really don't know this story at all.
I also didn't want to question it.
In fact, he's in like a sentence I have coming up.
So what's his capture. What's his background there?
I don't remember what his sort of hang on, let's.
Because you said another
when
Ronnie,
you said I Ronald, assume, yeah, I thought
I was like, well, maybe when he goes on the run, he changes his name, and the media picked that up, so that's why we all know him.
I've got it here, Ronnie Biggs.
Yeah, because I'd always assumed he must have been like one of the real key players,
like the leader. I thought,
but maybe it's just because something that happened later made him capture the attention.
Well, yeah, Ronnie. I don't have much here about like what his, you know how the others were like a florist or a racing car driver. I don't have heaps here about like what his main skills were. But he did go on to be one of the most sort of famous of this group for what he did after this.
Right.
So, and I'll talk a bit about that later as well.
Became an Olympic runner, triathlete.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that part of the story.
I mean, don't.
I mean, that's really hiding in plain sight, isn't it?
And he also
representing your country and getting a gold medal.
His nickname that he gave himself was the fastest man who had ever gotten away with a train robbery.
And it was catchy.
I mean, if you've ever robbed a train, would you call yourself that?
Yeah.
No, of course not.
No.
That's smart.
So clever.
That's why they called him Biggsy, because he had Biggs brains.
That's a Biggs of money.
That's a Biggs of money. So on the 16th of August, two people were taking a morning stroll in Dorking Woods.
Dorking. I bet the people who live around there are a bit lame.
Are they, Jess?
Yes.
Oh.
They discovered a briefcase and a camel skin bag, both of which contained money. They called the police. Who also discovered another briefcase full of money in the woods. In total, a sum of £100,000 was found.
I never find these briefcases.
Never.
Have I ever found a briefcase with $100,000.
You're not looking.
Yeah, I know. Get off my ass and look for the briefcase.
The question, of course, is...
You sound like my mom.
If you're in Dorking Wood, you find 100 grand, equivalent to, what, £2 million or something these days. Do you call the police?
If you're a dork, you do.
Yeah. And these guys are dorks.
Couple of classic
I hadn't
dorks.
Connected that.
Yeah. Inside the camel skin bag as well was a receipt from the from a cafe, a restaurant.
It said, one train robbed. Signed, Bludgeoned Man. It's weird to sign off like that, but...
And it had...
I mean, he had a concussion.
Yeah, oh, that makes
got
sense.
Got his name.
Yeah.
It had Brian Field's name on it. So this led to his arrest a month later on the 15th of September.
How many times you go to a restaurant, they give you a receipt with your name on it?
Mm.
Yep.
What an idiot.
And if you, I mean, if you don't want to get
give a fake name
taken by the cops, don't go to a restaurant. I mean, it's in the name. Arrest.
No, I'm not giving you that one.
No, I am. No. That is.
That's a crowd splitter, sure.
Yeah.
That took too much of a run up.
You're a great divider.
I know we've, you know, I always try to go with you on things, yeah. But that was a piece of shit.
Honestly, I have annoyed the crap out of me on this episode, and I'm so sorry to everyone listening. I can't stop. I don't know what's happened. I think I'm overtired or undertired.
So.
Tired.
All slept. Undertired.
I'm undertired.
You need to go and have a little spew?
Yes.
Will that okay. help?
All right. It helps for yeah. half an hour.
Jess had a great run after that.
She did.
Half an hour.
And then I crashed again.
Yeah, and spewed a bit more.
And then I had to go home and go to bed. I was not okay.
A roller coaster.
Oh, God, what a day. So then following all of this as well was the capture of Roy James, Ronnie Biggs, Jim Hussey and John Daly. So pretty much all of them.
Are they ratting each other out at this point, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I just think they're covering their tracks very well. Covering their tracks a lot.
I mean,
well.
One of them, like, left $100,000 in a forest. Yeah, it's not very clever.
With a receipt in it with his name on yeah. it. Like, you're not bright. Now, the trial of the robbers began at Aylesbury, Buckinghamshire. The next year, January 20th, 1964, because it would be necessary to accommodate a large number of lawyers and journalists, the existing court was deemed too small. And so the offices were specially converted, the offices of the Rural District Council were specially converted for the event. I thought that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, more taxpayer money wasted on these yeah. crooks.
So the defendants were brought to the court each day from Aylesbury Prison. In a compartmentalised van out of view of the large crowd of spectators, and Mr. Justice Edmund Davies presided over the trial, which lasted 51 days and included 613 exhibits and 240 witnesses.
This is going to sound like a dumb question, but is his first name Justice?
I also yes. thought, what a fortunate name.
Isn't that great?
So good.
Mr. Justice.
It's like that actor in America called Judge someone. What's his name?
Dread.
First name's Judge.
Oh, I don't think I know him.
I don't know if I made that up.
You think of Ashley Judd?
I'm thinking of Ashley Judd.
God, she's good.
She is good. God damn it. Double Jeopardy. Is that her?
So good. Yes. So on the 11th of February, 1964, there was a sensation when John Daly was found to have no case to answer. His counsel... claimed that the evidence against his client was limited to his fingerprints being on the Monopoly set found at Leatherslade Farm and the fact that he went underground after the robbery. But his counsel went on to say that Daly had played the Monopoly game with his brother-in-law, Bruce Reynolds, earlier in 1963 and that he had gone underground only because he was associated with people publicly sought by the police. This was not proof of involvement in the conspiracy, and the judge agreed and the jury were directed to acquit him.
I mean... If putting a hotel on Park Lane and Mayfair is a crime,
oh, then
put me away now.
Lock me up.
Lock me
Your
up,
Honor.
Mate. But if it's not a crime to charge reasonable board for a great facility at a very high-priced hotel, then let me go because I have a hotel to run. Thank you.
Exactly.
I rest my case.
Get it. God, you could represent yourself.
I will.
Okay.
I mean, you'd almost definitely go to jail, but... You could.
I could. I could.
You could if you wanted to.
I don't understand any of the processes, but I'm going to try. So they're directed to acquit. This guy gets off. He was involved.
Yes.
Guy not involved. Bowl.
Yep. In jail. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Gosh.
As for the rest of the accused, 30 years imprisonment was handed down to 7 of the robbers, while Brian Field and Leonard Field, no relation, successfully appealed the charges of conspiracy to rob, meaning they would only serve 5 years for the lesser crime of obstructing justice. So they got smaller sentences. At the time, the severity of the sentences caused some surprise, particularly given that their sentences were longer than the sentences handed down to murderers and armed robbers at the time. When mastermind Bruce Reynolds was arrested in 1968, he allegedly told arresting officer Tommy Butler that those sentences had a detrimental effect. According to him, they'd promoted criminals generally to take guns with them when they set out on robberies. Because it's like, you're going to get 30 anyway. That seems weird.
Oh.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
Bruce Reynolds' son talks about the day, because Bruce Reynolds kind of avoided,
well, yeah, I mean, like he
wasn't
until
68, so it was about 5 years or something, they were on the run.
So the mastermind's on the run. He'd be thinking the whole time, don't squeal. Don't you squeal.
Yeah. And so his son talks about the day that the cops turned up and got him, and that his dad was kind of like, so the officer's name, arresting officer, was Tommy Butler. And he saw him and was like, Tommy? Like, he was waiting for it basically that whole time. And then he went off to prison.
What a way to live.
Pretty full on.
Tommy Butler.
Tommy, I know why you're here.
Tommy, I know why you're here.
Tommy Butler.
He just shows him his
If
wrist.
It isn't Tommy Butler.
Tommy.
Doesn't this feel like
been
a Guy Ritchie
for you,
film?
Tommy. Yeah, Tommy. Tommy the Tatler. Here we are. Hey, knew you were coming, Tommy. Jess has leant back. She's let me go. Wants to see what happens here. Not going anywhere. That's fine. Good to see you, Tommy. Thanks for coming by. Let's go.
Well, I'll stop you there. You are going somewhere. You're going to jail.
No. Oh, right. Sorry. I was thinking of a different Tommy. You're the cop one. I thought you were the florist. All right. Off we pop. We get in the paddy van. Here we go, Tommy. All right.
I mean, you could just walk quietly to the car. You'd have to commentate the whole way there.
Here we go. Left, right, left, right. 1 foot after the other. That's the old mama used to say to me. Left, right. All right. Here we go. Opening the door now.
All right.
Put my first leg in. Second leg.
Watch your head.
Watch my head there. Butts on the seat. Buckle up. Shut that door. Here we go. Starting the engine. Driving off. Round the corner. Here we go. All right. We're on the M1, which is a highway in Melbourne. Interesting choice of direction to take. Feels like a long way round. And scene. Weird thing to say there, as we're...
Oh, for fuck's sake. No, enough. I've got a bit of a where are they now? I'm going to leave Ronnie Biggs to the last. So,
I love it. Where are they now?
Well, where are they then? It was basically after.
Where are they then?
I mean, it doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
I can't quite do anything.
Where are they then? Let's find out.
Well, this is what happened to them after their trials and imprisonments. Okay. Bruce Reynolds fled to Mexico on a false passport, then later to Canada with his wife Angela and son Nick. As we were talking about just then, in 68, 5 years after the crime, he returned to England and was captured and jailed for 25 years.
Oh, so that's how he got away. He went overseas
he fled.
For five.
He was released in 1978 and lived alone and broke in a small flat off London's Edgware Road. He was jailed again in the 1980s for 3 years for dealing amphetamines. After his second release, he went on to work briefly as a consultant on the film about the robbery. The film was called Buster, and published the autobiography of a thief in 1995. He died in February of 2013.
But he only went to jail for 10 years.
Yeah. And just a quick note of all of these, it doesn't really seem like this robbery paid off for any of them.
Right.
I mean, first of all, they got caught and jailed, so they don't actually have that money. But none of them went on to have great lives, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, they just had so much potential.
Yeah. Is it? And do you take it all back to not having the place burnt down? A couple of those big mistakes?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you think they would have got away with it without that evidence?
To be honest, I think there's just too many people.
Yeah.
16,
too many
at
leaks.
Least 16 people know about the crime.
You catch one and then if one speaks,
gotta catch them all. Yeah.
Gotta catch them all.
Honestly, I think a trio, for example, us, is the perfect...
I will rat you out so fucking fast. Are you kidding me?
Well, Jess, as soon as we
But that's
money,
only if they get you.
Yeah, but I would say let me off if I give you the names of the other two. And I'll say, no, we know it was Matt and Dave, you three do everything together. And I'd go, nah, shut up. We don't. It's
firstly,
different people. Say you'll let me go and I'll tell you who it really was.
Yeah, and then you name people that's innocent. Yeah, it was Mark Broden and Adam Knox. Weird group, but they did it.
Yeah. Zach was not present.
Yeah.
Zach is a good boy. Anyway, Brian Field. After being sentenced in 1964, he served 4 years of his five-year sentence. He was released in 1967. He changed his name to Brian Carlton to disappear. Sometime after his release from prison, he married Sian from Wales. And in the mid to late 70s, they worked for a children's book centre in Kensington High Street in London. He and his wife were responsible for the company's operation in Central and Southern Europe, to where they shipped English language books and held book fairs at international English schools.
It sounds like you did all right.
I was going to say, you're right. Everyone sounds like they had a horrible life afterwards. Worked in books.
Yeah, and like the head of Southern Europe or whatever. That sounds pretty big.
Field, aged 44, and his wife, aged 28,
his
died
dick
in a car
exploded.
Crash.
Oh, fuck, all right.
Oh.
When his dick exploded.
Where did your dick exploded from? What was the? Where was that coming from?
They drowned in success.
I don't think. I imagine it came out of nowhere for him as well. There was a light burning, and then all of a sudden, my
explosion.
Dick exploded.
Went from a light burning to explosion way too quickly.
Yeah. Then I realized that the light burning was the wick.
Oh, is there a wick hanging out? That's really painful.
This guy died in a car crash. You monsters.
Yeah. In some ways, that is more tragic than a penis exploding.
some ways.
Yeah.
Right, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and that was in 79, so when he was 44.
It's starting to feel a little bit like that movie, Final Destination.
The Pharaoh's Curse.
Yes. That was, what, the seventh sequel? Final Destination, the Pharaoh's Curse.
That probably would have been a better film than the first five sequels.
Then there was Ronald Edwards. Like Bruce Reynolds, the former boxer and club owner fled to Mexico after the robbery, but gave himself up in 1966, and then a couple of years later.
The year the Saints won the premiership.
He lived to see the Saints win and then
he
decided,
like,
I don't care.
Yeah.
After serving 9 years in jail, he became a familiar figure, selling flowers outside London's Waterloo Station. He was found hanged in a garage in 1994.
Again, I was about to say, that sounds...
That's okay. That's a career.
At the age of 62. Charles Wilson was captured quickly and during his trial earned the nickname The Silent Man because he refused to say anything. Makes sense.
Not one of those ironic names.
No.
Yeah. He's a real talker.
He would not shut up. He was jailed for 30 years but escaped after just 4 months, only to be captured again in Canada after 4 years on the run, and he served another decade behind bars.
4 years on the run's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great.
In Canada.
And another decade, because his sentence was 30 years, so that's not too bad.
When he finally emerged from prison in 1978, he moved to Spain, where he was shot and killed by a hitman on a bicycle in 1990.
This does sound like a curse.
Yeah.
Totally.
How fucked is this?
So 1990, he was shot by a hitman on a bicycle.
Yeah. Was that, I don't know if he was on the bicycle or the hitman was on the bicycle.
I reckon the hitman was on the bicycle.
I like, the idea
could,
of it.
I could ride by.
Yeah. And they're just slightly cheaper than those driving hitmen.
Yeah. You go to the, you know, the hitman agency, and you weigh up your price. You're like, you could probably only afford maybe a guy.
On a bike.
Bike. Scooter.
Maybe.
If razor scooter.
Razor scooter. No, I was thinking more of a
moped. Yeah.
No, razor scooter. That's a really low budget. Yeah. Roller skates. No one's going to think they're a killer.
True. They think they're whimsical.
Yeah.
Because they are. Then there's Roy James. After serving 12 years of a 30-year sentence, he sold silver at a market before moving to Spain. In 1993, he was jailed again for 6 years for shooting his wife's father and hitting her with a pistol. He died soon after getting out of prison, age 62.
Okay.
Couple dying at 62. He sounded like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Why? A lot of them are going to Spanish-speaking countries, including Spain and Mexico.
There's no extradition there.
This one, right. I don't have, because I've been doing this a lot, not on purpose, but you guys have been going, oh, this sounds okay, and then I hit you with something painful.
Yeah.
This one, there's nothing bad here. Gordon Goody was released in 1975, and he moved to Spain to run a bar. I have no further sentences.
Really?
That one sounds okay.
Still there, partying to this day.
Who knows what happened?
Mojitos at dusk. Is that a thing? Is now.
Is that the name of the bar?
Yeah.
James Hussey was released in 75. After working on a market stall, he later opened a restaurant in Soho. In 1989, he was jailed for 7 years for a drug smuggling conspiracy with fellow train robber Wisby.
So, oh, okay.
So they were still friends, which is cute. Roger Caudry, our florist.
Tell me it works out for the florist.
He was jailed for 20 years, reduced to 14 on appeal. Following his release in 1971, he went back to the flower business and moved to the West Country. Nothing bad, nothing bad.
Oh, that's pretty good. The flower business.
Yeah.
Tommy Wisby, who I just mentioned before, he was the bookie and the heavy man. He was sentenced to 30 years and released in 1976, but he was jailed for another 10 years in 1989 for cocaine dealing. After his release, he ran a flower stall and went to live in North London. He suffered several strokes as his health deteriorated.
Are these flower stores like dealing drugs or something? Is that what's... There's so many of them that go to this business.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Flower stores.
Like with the Glasgow Ice Cream Wars. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we did an episode on.
Because they were getting the ice cream trucks because it was easy to sell drugs to kids through that. I don't know. Maybe it's a good front.
Mm.
Maybe. Now I'm never going to trust a florist again.
All those poppies.
Yeah, that's right. Opium.
Opium.
Of course.
We've got a couple more. Bobby Welch, who was a nightclub boss, was sentenced to 30 years and was released in 1976. So he was released early as well.
Bobby Welch.
He was later.
Great name.
He later had an operation on his leg and the operation went wrong. So he was left.
With three legs.
They did it on his arm.
After jail, he became a car dealer and gambler in London. He's the
car dealer or card dealer?
Car.
Car dealer and gambler.
Not like Maxwell Smart.
John Weeder was a solicitor who was convicted of conspiring to pervert the course of justice. He was sentenced to 3 years and released in 1966. He went on to live in Surrey. Again, nothing too
and
bad about him, so that's okay.
Horrible.
The worst fate of all.
Oh, my goodness. There's always saved him till last. Because
not knowing anything about Surrey, I am not afraid to say an absolute hole in the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
Nah, beautiful place. Well done, Surrey.
Now, you could pretty much do an entire episode on Ronnie Biggs, but a little bit of a rundown for you here. After only serving 15 months, Ronnie Biggs successfully escaped from prison in April of 1965 with the help of an escape team. He had plastic surgery in France and moved firstly to Australia and then Brazil, evading a number of arrests. During this time, he courted the media with his story. Detectives travelled to Brazil in 1974 in the hope of catching him, but they were thwarted because Biggs by then had a fourth son, Michael, with his Brazilian girlfriend, who made him legally untouchable. It's like out of their jurisdiction.
Son. Three sons, fine. Four sons.
You got four kids.
Damn it. It's like four aces in the hole.
Damn it. They're on the plane and he's like busily going, come on, let's have another kid. He's like sitting there, come on. Boning real good.
Okay. For a second there, I was concerned you did not know how where kids came from. And I was like, oh dear. Just not
he's just like
power.
He's just like talking to his wife's belly. Come on.
Baby. One,
son.
Two, three, baby.
Needs to be a son. So do you reckon the plastic surgery is any good? What's he done? Has he had a bit of nose work?
Got a nip and tuck?
Is it purely for because he wants to look different, or is he also like taking liberties and being like, look, I've always wanted to have...
I'm sure you would, wouldn't you? I mean, if you were going to do it to change your appearance anyway, you'd change your appearance for the better.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be like, make me uglier.
Yeah. But maybe...
I'd do it for practicalities. I'd get my eyebrows put out 3 inches in front of my face to get some rain falling on.
Amazing.
3 inches?
Yeah, like a peak of a cap.
I mean, what are they on, like little sticks?
Permanent hat.
Hanging out?
Like yeah.
How are they attached to your brow?
No, they were you like, your whole, to me, that was a real dumb question. Dave.
Yeah, Dave. You don't get it.
Sorry, are you saying the tufts of hair are just longer?
No, your forehead, you're extending out in a thin... You're basically turning your forehead into like the brim of a hat.
Oh, sorry, that was a dumb question. I'm so sorry.
No, I don't know that it was.
I'm not a visual thinker, so I apologise. That's why you do the plastic surgery around
That's
here.
That's right.
Not me.
And you're still booked in for Tuesday morning?
Please. Thank you. Just, just do what you will. I'm leaving up to you.
Well, I've got some real big plans for it.
I already have quite a large forehead, so this will be interesting.
I'm putting your nose on your mouth.
Wow, people will never suspect me of being a robber.
Yeah, that's the plan.
And I'll never talk again.
You're a
mouth breather. Watch out.
Yeah, I'm putting your ears on your mouth.
It's all
just moving everything to your mouth, basically.
Oh, thank you, Roger.
It's going to be a very crowded area.
Yeah.
I look so different.
Nobody will ever know it was Dave. A few more fun facts about Ronnie. He released a single with the Sex Pistols in 1978 after lead singer Johnny Rotten had left the band.
What, so he's the new Johnny Rotten? And so this whole time, everyone knows it's him. He's living it up in Brazil.
Yep. But they can't touch him. In April of 1981, he was kidnapped by a gang of British ex-soldiers who were hoping to collect a reward from the British police. But the boat they took him aboard suffered mechanical problems off of Barbados.
Oh, no. They didn't have someone who could drive a boat.
And the
we'll have to wake up the train driver.
And the stranded kidnappers and Biggs were rescued by the Barbados Coast Guard. Barbados had no extradition treaty with the UK and Biggs was sent back to Brazil. Eventually, in 2001, he was very ill. He decided to return to Britain and face arrest. His health continued to deteriorate while serving the remainder of his sentence, and he was finally freed in 2009 on compassionate grounds by then Justice Secretary Jack Straw, and he died in the early hours of the 18th of December of that year at a care home in North London.
Sorry, he went to jail for 8 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, right at the end of his life.
So what year did he die? Because I remember this in the news.
2009?
2009, right.
I believe, yeah.
Right. Why do you reckon Brazil didn't have good healthcare? Is that why he needed to jump?
I also vaguely remember him doing media in my childhood.
Sorry, he died in 2013.
2013, right.
So he was out of prison for a few years.
Oh, right, so he had been out. He wasn't in the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I remember seeing him interviewed on TV a bit.
Yeah, he is. I vaguely.
Yeah.
Think you're right.
Like a book tour or something?
Well, I suppose if he's doing that Sex Pistols song.
Yeah, like
that's
such
a big fuck you, isn't it?
Quite an interesting life. But it looks like, and that, like I mentioned, like I could go on and on and on probably about him. But
so that's why he was the most famous in the end, the one we've heard of because of how long he got away from the authorities.
Yeah. And he was a bit of like a fuck you to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, you can't get me. It was a bit of that.
Right.
So that brings me to the end of my report on the Great Train Robbery.
I can see why it is the Great Train Robbery. Mm.
Yes.
Even though it all went wrong very early on.
Yes. Only one train robbery has that title.
It's true. It's Crazy. It almost was like they were cursed by something.
Yeah.
It really does feel to me like they have made a, there's been a mini series about it, or like a two-parter series in the
that
UK.
That is quite many.
But it feels like that's the Guy Ritchie film waiting to be made, you know? That's like a lock stock type
of
film.
It also has a bit of a feel of The Great Escape is sort of our picture, you know, spoiler alert. A little moment there for people to who haven't seen that old movie. But towards the end there, the escapees, you follow their stories outside of the prison camp, and a lot of them don't end well. Nearly none of them, I think.
Yeah. It's just so interesting that, yeah, even if some of them only serving a relatively short period of time, for a 30-year sentence, they only serve, say, like 10 of it, let's say.
Does 30 years feels wild for...
For that, yeah. For that. And that's, I think, again...
Apart from maybe the one who beat the guy, but did the train guy survived okay?
He didn't go back to work, I don't think.
Right.
He wasn't able to.
Wow, okay.
He was left, I believe, brain damaged.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
And he died later. I think he got sick. I'm remembering leukemia.
Right.
So
hefty sentences make
sense. But he wasn't murdered at that time.
You know, like you see in a movie like a guy going, donk, and they pass out and you picture them waking up the next day going, what happened?
Yeah, or like even like half an hour later being like, oh. Anyway, back to work.
Yeah.
So that, obviously that doesn't happen.
No.
That large sentence for that crime was part of why people were sort of like thinking of them more like heroes or kind of siding with them, being a bit more sympathetic towards them because it felt like it was maybe overboard. But none of them really seemed to learn from, well, a couple of them didn't go back to crime, but most did and were later put in jail for other things. So it's like they were just criminals. Regardless, like they didn't learn from being caught,
right?
You know, and serving time, they went back to crime anyway.
Prisons are famously places where you learn to be better criminals, aren't they? Well, they used to be. They didn't used to put so much time into rehabilitation. I think are they better now? I have no idea.
I really studied
criminology a long time ago.
Yeah, back in the 20s.
Yeah, back in the 1820s.
You pioneered the field.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The labeling theory—that's one of mine.
Is it?
No. No.
That's right. Don't lie to us.
That would have been something to be proud of.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That you have nothing to be proud of.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't feel bad for saying that.
That's a big money.
That's a bigger money, and that is a bigger reporter from Jess. Well done there. That was a good story.
Yeah, fun, hey.
Enjoyed the ride there.
I'm looking forward to the Guy Ritchie film.
I reckon that'd be awesome. If he's listening, which I assume he does.
Yeah.
we can't.
I would happily be a consultant on that film.
Yes.
Play a minor role, perhaps.
Sure.
Okay, minor.
No, I'm humble. And also, most of the big roles are men.
I believe
typical.
Yeah, in this day and age, I reckon they could cast you as Ronnie.
Thank you. I could do it.
Maybe they could do a gender swap as well.
Oh. Yes.
Ocean's 8 style.
Love it. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Rhonda Biggs.
Rhonda Biggs, no.
No, it's all falling apart there.
The pitch meeting, they just say, no.
Oh, no.
It'd still be Ronnie.
They've got their pen on the checkbook. Oh,
just got to cross
click,
this T.
Unclick. No.
Oh, by the way, the main character's name's Rhonda.
Thanks for dropping by.
You're pointing at the door. Matt, stop doing physical gags on this podcast.
You'll Although never work in this.
Very good.
You'll never work in this town again.
Oh, wow. Yep, so there you go. Anyway.
Thanks, Bopper. That was great.
I really did know
nothing about that.
I tried. Do you know what? I wrote that report with Dave Warnocky in mind.
Right.
I was like, how would Dave
There was a real Dave-esque.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Is this why I liked it so much?
Yeah,
I reckon. You're not just saying that?
No, I'm not just
That's
saying
why that. I started with, like, what happened, and then I went back a bit.
No, I love the jumping around. That really appealed to me.
Yeah.
So thank you.
My favourite part was probably the where are they then segment.
Me too.
That's a real Dave segment. I would definitely do that.
Where are they now?
Also, I looked up... because I'm sure people will be annoyed by the short mention. Reinhold is the actor's name, but it's a nickname. His real name's Edward Ernest Reinhold.
Did you also look up...
Judge Reinhold. That guy. Familiar with him?
What's he from?
From Beverly Hills Cop and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I know him. He is a mum's boyfriend in something.
Wow, the role he was born to play.
It's either
in a TV show.
No, it's in a film. He is the boyfriend of someone. Is he?
He's in Stripes with Bill Murray.
Yes, he is in Stripes. What else is he?
He's in Gremlins.
No.
Beverly Hills Cop.
No. I mean, yes, he is in this.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Ah. No, I swear he's a mum's boyfriend.
That is Dine. Who's Got the Will?
Oh, wow. That's bad. Sounds fun.
Is that the name of a film?
Yeah. Bank Robber, Beverly Hills Cop 3. Oh, The Santa Claus.
Yes. Yes. He's like the stepdad in The Santa Claus. Oh, my God. I did it. I was going to say opposite Robin Williams, but it's Tim Allen.
Is this weird? He's in Beethoven's Third. Earlier tonight, I was playing Beethoven's Third Symphony to the others for some reason.
Wow.
Wow.
That is weird.
That is weird.
It's borderline weird.
I'm freaking out.
I'm freaking out here.
I don't know what to do.
Oh, my God. Stop. Let's just thank some people.
Oh, great. Right. That's our way out of it.
Our way out is to remind everyone that if you love the show and you listen every week and you want to keep the show rocking and rolling, you want to give back a little bit in exchange for some rewards like bonus episodes and shout-outs and voting on the topics so you decide what we talk about each week, you can do so at Patreon, patreon.com/dogoonpod. You get all the above-mentioned things at the different levels. And including being thanked on one of the episodes, which is, for six lucky people, going to happen right now.
No, well, just before we do that, we've got our new famous segment, so famous that Dave will never forget it. It's called
Fact,
Quote, or Question.
What's it going to be this week, Maddie? Fact, Quote, or Question? This is, of course, submitted by a Patreon subscriber at the Sydney Sheinberg level.
This week, Dave, it is a question.
Come on now.
This week's Sydney Sheinberg level Patreon is Danielle Summers.
Hello, Danielle.
And also every week, the Sydney Sheinberger gets to give themselves a title before asking a question or giving a fact or a quote. And this week, Danielle has said, she wants to be titled This Week's Ringo.
Oh, love it. Yes, good decision.
She said, or make something up. But I like This Week's Ringo.
Yeah, that's great.
We are very lazy.
We will not be doing that, thank you.
Dave, quick, first thing that comes to your head, a title.
John the Baptist.
So you got two options there, Danielle. One of those being the one you came up with, which is way better, or
it's one come up with by someone who is a semi-professional comedian.
Semi-pro. He's gone semi-pro, everybody. And the question Danielle, or John the Baptist, or this week's Ringo asks is, what would be the title of each of your individual autobiographies?
John the Baptist.
That's what your Dave's life work titled John the Baptist. The Dave Warnocky story. That's confusing. And I love it.
Mine would be, hey, I tried.
Oh, that's nice. Maybe what would Dave's be? Because he clearly can't come up with
golden tonsils.
Yeah, golden tonsils.
I do have a title that I've been working on.
Fucking why? Why? What makes you think anyone would want to read your fucking memoir? No,
first question, why? Second question, why didn't you answer that in the first place?
Because I went with the joke answer first.
Oh, he always does. Is that what it's called?
This isn't for a memoir, but I've always wanted to call a show this, and it makes sense for a book. So why not call it this?
What?
War Diary of an Illiterate Pacifist.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
There you go. Like, that's quite a funny title to me. Why would an illiterate pacifist write a war diary? It makes you think. That's also in brackets, because people won't get it otherwise.
There's paragraph one sorted.
Dave, can we be acknowledged in your book?
In my war diary?
Yes.
You certainly will be.
You should call yourself Brigadier Warnocky.
Written by Brigadier Major David James Warnocky.
Please.
Matt, your title?
Yeah.
Genuine answer. Right now, it would probably be Matt's book. But I don't want to lock into that.
That seems like something Matt would call his book.
Dry Ginger Mail, obviously last year's show title.
That would be good, yeah.
I'm thinking at the moment my next year's show, which doesn't exist, I'm thinking about male comedian.
Yes.
How do you spell male?
I like it.
Is that a genuine question, Dave? M-A-L-E.
Oh.
We went through this last year.
Were you thinking M-A-I-L?
I was thinking like Rick Mail. No, I was thinking M-A-I-L. Because last year I also asked the same question. I do remember asking that.
So, yeah, I don't know what buddy. I'd love to, Danielle. You've probably, I mean, you came up with a better title for yourself. You probably would have come up with better book titles for us.
I feel like it comes up fairly often anytime somebody. It's sort of the same when, you know, when I just hear a random collection of words and say that would be a good band title.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to, like, when people say something that sounds a bit funny, I'm like, well, that's the name of your book or something like that, you know? But I can't think of one right off the top of my head.
I'd like to be in a film one day and then reference it, like Total Recall.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's such a good title.
He's totally recalling his life.
Well, I have a list of like potential show titles that I've kept over the last few years.
Give us a go.
Let's see. I'm just finding it in my okay. Perkins 9 to 5.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Especially pretty if it's good. Like a work-based autobiography.
Jess, We Forget. That was suggested by Bob Franklin.
That is probably offensive.
I'm like, but Bob Franklin suggests it, so I'm okay with it.
It's fine. Friend to the End. M'lady.
M'lady.
I think M'lady is a bit funny.
M'lady.
M'lady. But for now.
The Jess Perkins story.
Anyway, I hope that answers your question, Danielle.
Bop. But something could be bopping.
It could just be bop.
Bop. Bop.
Yeah, probably would be bop.
I like one word.
Yeah, bop. Bop's good.
Thank you.
Bop. Yeah, I was talking about you. You're good. Bop's good.
Bop's good. How's Bop? She good.
Bop's good. Danielle, I'm so sorry if that was an unsatisfying.
I'm sorry to everyone who listened to that.
Sure.
I think that's fair. But let's thank some people. What do you reckon?
Let's
startle Bob Franklin. That used to be a segment on the radio. Let's startle Bob Franklin. And then callers would call in and try to startle him. And I'll say something like a fact or something. And then Bob Franklin would be like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. He was very rarely startled by them.
I bet.
Let's startle Bob. It's a Tony Martin.
That sounds about like segment. Something they'd bloody do.
Very fun.
Who'd like to go first?
What are we doing with them, Bob? Yeah. Now you're back in form this week. Some great train robbery. What are you thinking?
What mode of transport would they rob?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All
and
right.
If any of you go on to do these crimes, I don't want to hear that this was our fault.
No.
And by me saying that there, I've just covered our asses.
Thank you,
legally.
Jess. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome, Matt. Dave, would you like to thank me?
Because if you don't, legally, you're back in the gun.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't know. No comment. Yes. Yes.
No, that doesn't.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. I'm pleading the fifth.
I'd love to thank, if I could, from Newstead in Queensland, which is a suburb of Brisbane that has a great little brewery, the Newstead Brewery. I'd love to thank Anna Cox.
Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Anna. Anna clearly robbed
a canoe?
Seaplane.
Oh, seaplane, great.
Oh, I love seaplanes. Yeah. I mean, I'd never go on one. They look terribly unsafe.
I've been in one.
Really?
Yeah, I'm very cool.
Why and where?
I was in, Queensland? And we went on a jet ski tour and it stopped at a little island.
Wow.
And the seaplane captain was bored and he said, do you guys want to come for a quick joy flight? And we said, yes.
Yes. That sounds like magic.
Obviously, he charged us later, but it was still fun.
Hold on, what? Obviously, he charged you later.
Mates rates, but still sneaky. But we got to go for a little ride, and I felt very sick, but it was very fun.
Is the landing incredibly rough?
No, the landing's fine. It was just that he was like, you're basically flying along, and then to go up, which I think is a technical term.
Yes.
He just went whoop, like straight up, and you, it was not good for the stomach.
Well, like a rocket.
Yeah, it was like a rocket. I was a spaceman for a moment.
Was he by chance Baloo the bear?
Yes.
I thought so.
It's funny that you ask that.
That's the only seaplane I can think of, even if it was from Tailspin, the Disney cartoon.
Right, okay.
Do you remember that? It was a weird spin-off of Jungle Book where Baloo started flying planes.
I don't remember.
Have I made that all up?
That is a weird spin-off.
It's a very weird spin-off.
Maybe I've made that up. Maybe it's not a spin-off.
Did you have a dream?
Oh, I have had a dream, yeah.
I had a dream earlier today when I had a nap that two of my teeth fell out. It was not a good dream. I was like in a shopping center.
If they were your wisdom teeth, that would have been really handy.
Yeah, because I'm going to have to get that done.
If I could also thank,
please,
from McKinney in Texas,
woo!
United States of America, Elizabeth Lefevre.
Oh, that's nice. Lefevre.
Are you, when, is that right?
Love it.
I was about to start singing again, which I will try and not do anymore.
Well, you should keep singing because I think Elizabeth Lefevre robs gondolas.
Oh, ooh. When the moon hits your eyes like a big piece of pie.
Jess is playing the saxophone again.
Just give me a lot of money. What is it?
Gondola, the great gondola robbery.
They got away with 38 euro. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Is that how you would pronounce? It feels like
Lefevre.
Lefevre. No,
but Lefevre sounds so good.
Of course it does. I'm sure that's it.
Saturday Night Lefevre.
Oh, that's good.
French Travolta.
I think it sounded a little something.
Like this. Dave, would you like to go next?
Thank you for saving me there. I had nothing.
I'm sorry.
I would like to thank all the way from
I'd like to thank all the way
from a P.O. box in Sea Lake, Victoria.
Ooh.
I always think people with P.O. boxes suspicious or very classy.
Let's go classy in this instance.
No, I reckon some sort of a robber.
Oh.
Yes. All the way from Sea Lake, Victoria, Bron Alday.
A post truck.
Yes. And they conveniently hide it at the
almost
post office
the perfect
headquarters.
Crime.
But
not when our little PI bopper is on the case.
Yep, that's right.
Well done, PI. And thank you, Bron. Keep reaching for the mail truck.
Yeah.
Right. As I always say, I just saw mail. M-A-Y-A-L-L. It's another Rick Mail reference.
Can't have too many.
And I would like to thank from South Yarra, very lovely suburb here in Victoria, in Melbourne, Amy Gibbed.
Gibbed.
G-I-B-B-D.
Gibbed. Great name.
Amy Gibbed.
Amy Gibbed.
I Amy that's Gibbed. Great.
Love
she
that.
She robs a time machine spa bath. What was that movie called?
Hot Tub Time Machine.
No, like Time Machine Spa Bath. Which is like the knockoff movie.
Yeah, I love
they redid it in Thailand.
Yeah. Time traveling.
Wow.
Spa bath.
Thanks, Amy Gibbed. I don't know why you're rubbing that. But
yeah,
don't stay in the jacuzzi too long. You'll get all pruny. Amy.
Hopefully she did that in Australia where the notes are made of plastic. Because if you did that in one of the countries with paper money, they're going to fall apart.
Oh, yeah. That's why I like a swim-up bar here in Australia. Mm. Keep your wallet in your bathers, no prob.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a big wallet and tiny bathers.
Wow.
Bathers don't have pockets.
How scandalous.
Oh, that was stupid. Anyway, I would like to thank, may I, please?
Please.
I would like to thank from Columbia, South Carolina.
Now, do any of us know any facts about either North or South Carolina?
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Jess has said a lot of facts this episode. Let's go to Matt for this.
Okay.
One.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they've got quite a few. Love the Carolinas, both of them. But did you know Michael Jordan? Legendary.
Who?
Legendary. Legendary basketballer.
Oh, that Michael Jordan. I was thinking of the other Michael Jordan.
I was thinking of Michael B. Jordan.
No, I'm talking about Air Jordan.
I was thinking of Michael Jordan.
The one
who primary school.
Who inspired Air Bud,
got
the
it.
Dog.
Yes.
He went to university and he used to wear university shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And those shorts were made of magic. Magic Johnson, somehow, right?
Okay.
Which is a new fabric of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But these shorts had such power that when he went into the NBA basketball association, national, he continued to wear those shorts, made of magic, all the way to the top.
That's a fascinating fact. Where did you hear that?
To be honest, I heard that from a little documentary called Space Jam.
I've heard of it, and I've heard good things.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. Can I thank the person now then?
Yes. Well, I mean, no, people wouldn't know anything about North or South Carolina if we didn't put it into context.
Yeah, like luckily. That. So from...
I'm sorry about how all of the Carolinas... have now been
hijacked
into North Carolina. Sorry,
but I would like to thank from South Carolina.
Sorry, South Carolina.
David Berry.
Ah, the Berryman.
The Berryman.
David Berry. That's great. That's a great name. Another great name.
And he robbed a
ambulance.
Ambulance. Ooh. Wow. Brutal.
Organ donors. He steals the organs. They're very valuable.
Sells them on the black market.
Smart.
But not a great guy.
No, but rich.
Yeah.
Rich.
And some would argue that's the same as being a good person.
I would argue that.
Yeah.
I love cash.
Cash.
I love berryman.
I love berries. What's your favorite berry?
Raspberry.
Boysen.
Straub.
Yeah. Nah. Boysen's like a mashup berry.
Boysenberry ice cream. Holy shit, yeah.
Yep.
And actually, I had some croissant waffles recently.
Oh.
Because I'm 27.
You won't stop talking about them.
They're so good, but they had the freshest raspberries I've ever eaten in my life.
What?
And I was like, I'm back on board the raspberry train.
Mm. Oh,
fresh raspberries, delish.
Yum, yum, yum.
Bloob.
Nah, not a big bloob.
You're not a bloob fan?
Not really.
I love bloobs. Juicy bloobs. Right into them. Straubs. Bloobs.
Mm-hmm.
Boysms.
Yep. Cran.
It's cran. Oh, I could take or leave a cran.
Yeah, big time.
Where's your cranny, granny? Don't give a fuck is the answer before you go on.
Yeah, great. Cranberry juice, though.
From Ocean Spray.
Okay. I'm just going to thank the last person.
Thank you.
Even they're not still hanging around.
Listening to this. From Los Angeles.
Ooh, La La Land.
Zach Gidding.
Zach
Gidding, that is a great name.
He robbed a horse.
Yep.
A racehorse.
Zach robbed a racehorse.
Give me all your money.
Oh. All your race money.
Where is it?
In the saddlebag.
Dingus.
That's why the horse started losing races because it had to keep all its prize money on it at all times. By the 10th race.
He got involved with some pretty bad horses and
they were not friendly.
No. They left a human head in his bed.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks so much, Zach.
Thanks, everyone.
Oh, my goodness. What a great batch of people.
What an absolute group of dead set legends.
Your support generally helps this show keep on running. And it blows us away how cool our listeners and patrons are. Super sick people.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but they are the best people in the world, and I love them with all my heart.
Yep, I think that's about right, yeah.
We're all on the same page there.
Absolutely.
Great. Nothing controversial about that statement.
Thank God. Nope. Thank God. I've been holding that in for quite a while.
And never feel like you can't say that, you know?
Okay. Thank you,
this
Jess.
This is a safe place.
Thank you, Jess.
It's the safest place.
We love you and support you.
Thank you so much.
You fucking idiot.
Got
it.
Oh. Well, like I always say, that's a good money.
You let us in and we killed you.
I can't remember what your phrase was. Was that it?
I think it is. Yeah.
That's a good money.
That's a good money.
Well, we've got to go now. We could sit here and podcast forever.
Yes.
Which?
Okay, if we have to.
No, we will be back next week with another report on another topic. Who knows what we'll be talking about. But if you are a patron, you probably will because you'll be voting. Drop us a line anytime. All the contact details for our social medias and our YouTube channel, all that stuff, is dogoonpod.com.
Keep your eyes peeled for Primates coming out this Friday, I do believe, with a 3-episode drop.
Do you believe in life after love?
That's my theme jingle.
Oh, sure, every time.
Fuck, she's cool.
Yeah. Please like and share.
I can feel something inside me say. It's a pretty good Cher.
That's not a bad Cher.
Is that what she says? I can feel something inside me say.
She's got like a small man inside of her.
Yeah. Oh.
Let me out.
Trevor, shut up.
Can me say, I really want to get out of your guts.
Please.
Oh.
Can we go?
All right, yes. We got to go. Thanks very much, guys. See you soon. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.